Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the November 30th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the first Sunday of Advent. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that we may learn God's ways and walk in God's paths. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, "When Morning Gilds the Sky." Next is verse 1 of "O God of Every Nation."
So the Old Testament reading is from Psalm 122, the song of praise and prayer for Jerusalem. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, "Peace be with you." For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is, "O God of Every Nation." 2.
We turn to our gospel reading today, taken from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. On this first Sunday of Advent, you'll notice the scripture reading is not centered in Bethlehem. It's not about the Christ child coming. It is about what's going on and a part of God's plans around all of these events. It focuses on the return of Jesus in a second coming. We begin at verse 36. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only God the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating, they were drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. When two will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake. Keep awake, therefore. For you do not know what the day of the Lord is coming. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be awake. You must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. This passage is about the quiet work of Advent. If you walk into a house after Thanksgiving but before Christmas, you can tell that something's going on, even if the house itself is perfectly quiet. As you come into that house, you'll see boxes are out of the closet. You'll see half-strung garland on the table. There may be flour on the counter and in a cooling rack ready for cookies that aren't baked yet. It's not Christmas. It doesn't look finished, but the work has already started. Most of what makes Christmas beautiful is work that happens behind the scenes. Ordinary, without any glamour, quiet. Well, there are lists, there are errands. There are small decorations and decisions to be made, even extra dishes taken out. And the slow, hidden work adds up to one bright moment. Advent is like that. Advent is the church's way of saying, there's quiet work going on. God is doing something, even if it's not finished. And even if it doesn't look like much yet. So the question is for us, are we paying attention? No one knows the day or the hour. Jesus says these words in Matthew 24, but about that day and about that hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Christ, but only the Creator. People have turned those words into charts, into timelines, trying to get as close as possible to knowing what Jesus just said we can't know. And Jesus doesn't say this so that we'll predict the future. He says it so that we will learn how to live in the present. among his words. He talks about the days of Noah. People were eating and drinking and getting married. Life was rolling by just as it always does, day to day to day. Not necessarily wicked, just distracted, preoccupied, busy. Nobody noticed what God was doing right in front of them in Noah's day. Then those simple images, the simple images of two people in the field, two women grinding grain. One is ready, one isn't. Same job, same place, different postures of the heart. It's not about who gets picked. It's about who is awake to God and who is sleepwalking through life. So Jesus said, keep awake. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. That is Advent in one line. Stay awake. Stay attentive. Keep watch. It says nothing about be scared. It says nothing about decoding secret messages. Just awake to the quiet work of God. Because we are beginning a loud season and hearing from a quiet God. Our culture's version of the season is not quiet. And you know that Christmas season really began right after July 4th. Didn't you notice? You could begin listening to Christmas music on that Christmas music station. Yes, you could. In our culture, the ads are loud. The schedules are loud. The pressure to be cheerful is loud. We talk about the magic of the season, but you know what? Truth be told, a lot of people are tired. A lot of people are grieving. A lot of people are anxious. A lot of people are numb. It's not an instant Christmas. It's not a Hallmark movie with a beautiful ending. This is Advent. And Advent says God is not in a hurry. God is not panicking. God does some of God's best work in the dark, in the quiet, in the in-between times. Advent is the church standing in a frantic world. And in this frantic world, the church says to it, we're going to slow down on purpose. We're going to pay attention. We're going to watch. And we're going to wait. We're going to do that not because nothing is happening, but because so much is happening under the surface. If we turn to Psalm 122, Psalm 122 gives us another picture for Advent. I was glad, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. In that phrase, you can hear the longing. Pilgrims are traveling to go to Jerusalem. They're leaving their fields, their routines, their worries, and they're heading toward the place that reminds them, we belong to God. God's promises still stand. We're not alone. And then Psalm 122 turns to this prayer. Pray for peace for Jerusalem. Peace be within your walls. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. They're praying for peace. They're not praying for bigger armies. They're not praying for more control. They're praying for peace. And this is not the quiet work of God. I'm sorry, back up. This is the quiet work of God. By the way, as we move through this sermon, you know, figure a chalkboard is here. And if I leave out a word or put one in, you can just simply either pull it out and put it where it belongs, or you can simply erase it and it won't be there after all. So if I say an extra not, or if I leave something out, you can just say, oh, I need another word off that chalkboard. We'll get there together. This is the quiet work of God, building peace, stitching communities together, teaching people to forgive, to listen, to care. And where does that prayer start? It starts in worship. Before anything out there changes, something in here begins to change. In Psalm 122, their focus shifts. Their hearts soften. Their imagination opens to the possibility that God really can bring peace to people who know so much about warring. That's Advent. Before the big moment, before the manger, before angels and shepherds, God is already at work in the quiet places, in hearts, in homes, in churches, and in communities. Advent itself is a quiet construction site. And if you've ever been there, living near a construction site or visiting one regularly, if you've ever watched a building going up, you know that there's that long stage where it looks like nothing exciting at all is happening. The lot gets fenced off. There might be some trenches dug and piles of dirt showing up, and maybe some concrete forms are put in place. You know, it's not a pretty sight, this quiet construction site. But with the forms put up, that becomes the foundation. That part you and I never see when it's finished, but it's that part that holds the entire building in place. And if that foundation is not done well, nothing else holds together. Advent is God's quiet construction site. For us, as we worship Sunday to Sunday, we see four Sundays. We see a wreath. We sing a few extra hymns. And yes, the Christmas hymns are coming, but they come more packed closer to Christmas itself. God sees foundation work, deeper trust, real hope, lasting peace. We want the finished building. God starts with the foundation. We want Christmas morning, and God starts with a pregnant teenager in Nazareth, and later a baby in a manger. The kingdom of God rarely arrives with a marching band. It usually begins quietly. So what does keeping awake actually look like? What does it mean to stay awake in Advent? Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to go camp on a hill, go stare at the sky. Jesus talks about people in the field, grinding grain, doing their normal work. So staying awake is less about doing huge dramatic things and much, much more about doing our ordinary life with a different kind of attention. Here are some simple ways for quiet practices. A few minutes of real silence. What if you and I, every day in Advent, gave God 5 quiet minutes? So no phone, no television, no multitasking, just pause. And in our pausing, light a candle. Simply pray. Maybe use these words. Lord, I'm here. Help me notice you. As you spend those moments in silence, you might feel like there's nothing at all happening. But that's exactly what foundation work is. It's God at work quietly shaping a heart like yours and mine to be more awake, more attentive. Spend a few minutes of real silence. Another idea is one hidden act of kindness per day. Jesus ties readiness to doing small things. What if each day in Advent you did one quiet act of love for someone? You may know them, you may not, but in that quiet act done for someone, you might find yourself sharing the chores no one else likes to do at home, giving a little more of extra generosity. In a tense moment, offering a kind word instead of a sharp one. All of these things are Advent work. That's us busily joining God's quiet kingdom. A few minutes of real silence, one hidden act of kindness a day. Maybe add to that list one step toward peace. Psalm 122 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." For us, that might mean pray for the peace of this home that we live in, this church we worship in, this town where we live, and maybe even this heart. So is there a relationship that's strained? Is there someone that you're avoiding? A conversation that you've postponed? You might not be able to fix everything, but you can take one small step. A text, a phone call, an apology, a decision to stop replaying that old hurt that keeps going in your and my mind. That is staying awake to God's work of peace. So a few minutes in real silence. One hidden act of kindness a day. One step toward peace. Let's add to that, showing up for worship as if it matters. Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord.'" On paper, and you have the paper bulletin in your hands, worship is simple. It's songs, and it's prayers, and it's scripture, it's a sermon, and maybe even communion, but that'll wait for next Sunday. But underneath those simple things listed in our bulletins, underneath, God is doing quiet work. God is recentering us. God is reminding us who we are. God is binding us together. And God is feeding us with Christ's presence. So every time you drag yourself here, whether it's tired and distracted, you drag yourself here, you're stepping into the quiet work of Advent. As you look around, did you notice what decorations are up? The obvious, of course, is the candles and the wreath, but a Christmas tree, garland. We have one banner up, and next week another, and then another, and another, and then finally another. When you drag yourself here, you step into the quiet work of Advent, and what you're saying is, "I'm available, I'm here." And did you know, do you know, that Jesus loves to meet people who simply show up? A few minutes of real silence, one hidden act of kindness per day, one step toward peace, showing up for worship as if it matters, and add to that list, Christ is quietly closer than you think. Did you notice this in our passages? Jesus calls himself your Lord. "You do not know," it says. "You do not know on what day your Lord is coming." So it's not a distant stranger. It's your Lord, the one who already knows you, the one who already loves you, the one who died and rose for you. Advent isn't just about some future date on God's calendar. It's about recognizing that Christ is already near. Near in that neighbor you'd rather ignore. Near in that person you've been praying for. Near in the scripture. Near in the sacraments of this season. And near in the quiet nudges of the Holy Spirit. The same Jesus who will come again in glory is the Jesus who comes to us now in the very ordinary ways of us celebrating communion with bread and cup, us celebrating with candles and carols, us doing acts of mercy and justice, us praying simple prayers. So when we keep awake, we're not staring at the night sky waiting for a stranger to appear. We're staying alert for a friend. And this friend is already here. And this friend will also one day finish what's been started. So in our worship space, we light one candle, the first Advent candle, just one small flame. In a dark room, and it's interesting, today we had to draw the shades a little bit because it's too bright outside. Welcome to the Northwest. Just when you thought you won't need your sunglasses again for another 6 months, we get a day like this. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, I know where my sunglasses are too. In a dark room where one candle is lit, that one flame doesn't erase all the shadows, but it does change everything. That one candle pushes the darkness back. It doesn't light up every corner, no. But that one candle says very clearly, the dark does not have the final word. And that's what Advent is. The world may feel like Matthew 24, unpredictable, unsettling, out of control. We may feel scattered or even numb. But the quiet work of God has already begun. In Christ, the light has already come into the world. In Christ, the kingdom has already been planted. In Christ, peace has already been declared. And our job is not to make everything happen. Our job is simply to stay awake. Stay awake to what God is doing and also then join in the quiet work. So this Advent, I invite you. I invite you to take a few minutes of silence each day. I invite you to do one hidden act of kindness. I invite you, take one step toward peace. I invite you to show up for worship, expecting God to meet you here. And trust. Trust that beneath the noise and the busyness, beneath the headlines and the to-do lists, God is quietly, steadily at work, building peace, growing hope, and deepening love. The quiet work of Advent is happening right now in this church, in your and my life. And may we, yes, may we be awake enough to see it. Amen.
Next is the hymn, O God of Every Nation, verses 3 and 4.
Strengthen those who labor at home, give my praise. Come, hear, and let me say, with God, pray.
Next is the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell the Nation."
As you walk in the light of the Lord.